And welcome to a new episode of Digital Coffee Gaming Brew, and I'm your host, Brett Deister. And if you could please subscribe to this podcast or follow, since apparently it's the new thing to change from subscribe to follow. But anyways, just hit that button that either says subscribe or follow, and then leave a comment if you want to what your favorite part of the episode was on Spotify. That would be great. But anyways, we're going into it, and we're going to be talking about Overwatch Classic and my feelings about it since coming back to it, because I originally played the first or 1.0 version and then coming back to it and my thoughts after. It's been a while for it as well. Blizzard's new job confirms an open world shooter, maybe. And then we're going to talk about the remaster versions of Warcraft 1 and Warcraft 2, and it's already out seemingly. Also going to be talking about Avowed and how it's coming out, and the new AMD Ryzen 9800 X3D and the scalpers that are trying to basically ruin building PCs again. Feels like it's 2020, 2021 all over again. Age of the Empires Definitive Edition 5th Anniversary and what it comes with it. And ADL apparently wants to really just be defamatory towards Valve, because that's what the ADL always does, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, plus just kind of my thing about nostalgia in gaming, because it seems to be coming back with just a rising tide, because we all just miss the old days where games were actually good. But anyways, let's get on with it. That's good. All right, so Overwatch. Yes, Blizzard announced this past week that Overwatch, the original 1.0 version, would be, or Overwatch Classic mode would be live on the game of Overwatch 2, and you could play it. So I played it because I played the original when it first came out. Yes, it is a lot different. It is actually more difficult and more fun to a certain extent. And it just kind of brings back like what made Overwatch special. The funny part is that Bastion is a very overpowered DPS hero. There are very few supports in the game. You've got Mercy, you've got Lucio, Zen, and Symmetra. Yes, Symmetra was originally a support. You also have Attacker Defender, which is always funny. Torb is not what he is now. You throw out armor packs and you have to lay down your turret and then build it up to level 2, and then your ult, it will build to a level 3 turret, and those things are very nasty. Rein Charge, there is no cancel button. Hog, once you hit the heal button, you actually have to stand in one spot. So there's that. Winston does not have his long-range portal cannon weapon. It is just his normal one, and that's it. And Mercy is Mercy without her easily jumpable thing, but she does have mass res, which is funny to play against. D.Va is terrible because she moves so slowly while shooting. She has no micro missiles, and her defense matrix is on a cooldown as well. And Zen is slow, but very, very powerful. Has a Discord orb, has a 50% damage increase on. So you just melt in this game. McCree slash Cassidy has a flashbang, fan the hammer, and you could roll and then reload and then fan the hammer again, and you can take out tanks like crazy. Tracer's overpowered as always. Reaper has his soul orbs again, so you can't do that. Widow is completely overpowered. Hanzo's scatter arrow will kill you pretty quickly. I mean, it just brings back the craziness of the game with just people knowing how to play Overwatch now. Makes it a little difficult, but it's still fun in general. I have enjoyed it. I've enjoyed playing it. I miss that 6v6 format. I miss the synergies between tanks, or if you wanted to go all tanks, because there was times where there was a 5 Widow stack, so we went all Winstons, and then they all switched back because that's what we do. I played with a friend. They went like 4 Torbs. We went Pharah and then blew away the turrets, and then they kind of switched, and a few of them actually left. And in one game, one went, I was trying to go tank, one went Bastion, and they went three Zarya's, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go Bastion. We won the game. Also, 2CP's back. The old maps are back. It is a fun time. Now, some of the old maps have been reworked. The reworks are still there, but it's a fun time to play again. It's a fun time to remember how far we went. And, oh, I forgot to mention, also, Reinhardt's 2000 shield, and also, he has one fire strike, and like I said, his charge, once you commit fully, and there, unless you hit a wall, that's what you get. So it's one of those things, and I feel like it's more of a high risk, high reward. You make sure that you know you're going to get a kill. It's a lot, quote unquote, slower, but there's a lot more synergy and tactics behind it as well. So I don't think it's terrible. I actually do like this. I do miss 6v6, and I do understand that this is not the test. This is just we are just reliving the moments. Hopefully the hero limits will come back in, because it is very annoying. And also May is very annoying because their freeze is back. So if May will freeze you pretty quickly 1.0, and then it's awful. I never liked May. She's not as bad this in Overwatch 2, but I never liked her in Overwatch 1 because she froze you so quick. Also, Roadhog's 1.0 hook and his hook and shoot, basically hook, shoot, and then melee is back as well, and that's interesting. But it feels like you get eliminations a lot better. Your alts come a lot quicker as well, which I'm fine with. Like, I'm fine with everything except for the no hero limits. That's the part where I'm like, needs to, and there needs to be slight tweaks on some of the characters. I think Widow does need a range type of reining in. Cassidy's, I mean, the fan the hammer is fine. It's just really powerful. So like reining that in is fine. But everything, Bastion needed to be reined into. But he wasn't as bad as the beta. So in the beta, apparently, because you're stationary and you have a chain gun, so it is very, very powerful. But in the beta, he had a shield too, so it was almost impossible to kill him because he had a shield plus hit armor plus he had a chain gun. So it was hard to kill him, and then they got rid of the shield, which is actually a good idea. But all in all, I've been having, for the most part, a fun time. It got a little old, so I got... all my rewards or challenges, I was like, all right, I'm done until the week next week, and then I'll be playing it again and seeing like if they add Ana, like what's that? Because when Ana came into the game, her ult gave you also a speed boost and a damage boost, so it was like crazy insane when you got that. But it's fun. The Mercy res is cheese, but it's fun, and it's kind of like, oh man, I have to kill these people again. And Pharah is just very powerful. Like, all the characters are very powerful now. And all the characters can actually get a kill. And there's big plays to be made in the original Overwatch. Overwatch 2, there's not as many big plays because there's so much denial in those big plays that it's just not as fun and it's more of a grind. So I do think they need to look at that and figure out how they can make that good again. Because that's why it was fun. We made big plays. We got like quintuple kills, like that type of a thing. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, you got a lot of damage, but very little kills. And this time around, it's you have a lot of elimination, but very low damage. And I'd rather have that than the other way around. But moving on to, it looks like Blizzard is going to be making an open world shooter. Now people are thinking it's going to be in the StarCraft universe, which is, well, more than likely going to happen. They have originally did that way long ago. It was called StarCraft Ghost, and that was eventually scrapped for, I don't really know why it's scrapped, because Blizzard does that. And in their storied history, they've made games and then scrapped the game since they didn't think it was going to work or it wasn't going to be very fun. They did have kind of an adventure Warcraft game way back in the 90s that they were working on for a while, and they decided to get rid of it because it just wasn't good to them, apparently. And so they did have a survival game that they were working on for like 6 years, and then Microsoft canned that because they laid off a bunch of people. We will see where this goes. how they're going to do it, if it's going to be like a multi-universe type of open world shooter, or just basically a planet-based only one planet shooter. We don't really know, but we will see when it actually is announced, or if it's going to come out, or if it will actually ever see the light of day. Moving on to Blizzard finally announced its Battle Chest remasters for Warcraft 1, Warcraft 2, and Warcraft 3 Reforged 2.0. And, well, I'm excited to a certain extent. I do love the old Warcraft games, specifically Warcraft 2. I never really played Warcraft 1, but when I did get a chance to play it, I was like, there's a reason why I didn't play Warcraft 1. The original Warcraft 1, you could only click on one unit at a time. And it was just that. And then when Warcraft 2 came out, you could do groups, which was revolutionary at the time. Now it's not because, well, it's been around forever. But at the time, it was revolutionary. And it's going to, well, you're going to be able to play it on modern machines, which is a great thing. Now, if you already own Warcraft 3 Reforged, you will get a discount through Battle.net to get Warcraft Battle Chest, which is going to be like $25 instead of $30 or something like that. But it is only through Battle.net that you can actually get it. I tried on Steam that did not have it at all. So you are stuck on one Battle.net, which Battle.net isn't too bad to play on. It's one of the few ones that I don't mind so much. I'm looking at you, EA. Yours is abysmal. But you can actually play it. I'm teetering on getting it or not because it's just fun to play the old games. I do love RTSs. I love RTSs since they were very popular. Now they're not so popular. So we'll see if I get it or not and how good it's actually going to be. Now moving on to Avowed, and it looks like we actually have a release date for Avowed, Obsidian's, I guess, take on their Skyrim-like RPG, even though it's not like Skyrim, but their version of a medieval fantasy, let's just put it that. That's probably a better way of saying it. It's going to be coming out in February of next year, so pretty soon, February 18th to be exact, and it's going to be coming out on Xbox and PC, and it could land on PS5. Well, we're not really quite sure about that one yet, but at least those two is confirmed on that one as well. And there is two price points. It's going to be on Battle.net too, because I mean, Microsoft owns Battle.net, so why not put their games on Battle.net? So you can get it there, but there's going to be two different tiers. One's just the regular, one's the premium. The premium, you get to play up to 5 days early if you want to. And then there's a few things you get for it. It's not that much, to be honest with you. And it's not worth the price for me. But if you want to play early, you can get it for $90. It's going to be $70 regularly. But yes, Avowed is coming very soon. Should be interesting to see how Obsidian's take on the Skyrim-like game will be. They're usually pretty good at RPGs. They were the ones behind Fallout New Vegas that everybody loves. They also were the ones behind KOTOR 2, which I thought it was the better story of the two. It just wasn't as good as the original KOTOR. But we will see what this does. And the funny part about this is that Phil Spencer's talked about it, why it was delayed. And the delay was because it was a very full, I guess, list of games coming out from them, with the Diablo 4 expansion, COD 6, COD Black Ops 6, and then also Indiana Jones. And they're like, look, if we put Avowed in here, it's just going to be like, we're not going to need sales from it because there's just too many games coming out around this time. So it was a smart thing. You also had Stalker 2 that's coming out on the 20th, so this week. But it should be interesting to see if this does well, or if the combat's not going to be as great as people thought it was through the gameplay trailers. We're not really sure, but the extra time was just because the reschedule was just really packed. They didn't want to pull EA with Titanfall 2, which when Titanfall 2 was released, they put it between Call of Duty and their own Battlefield game, right between both of them. And everybody's like, what are you doing? Why are you putting it in between both those? Do you want this game to die? And it didn't sell very well because people didn't get it. But we'll see what happens with this one. I think it's good to put it in February because it is enough time for it to have its own time and it won't be as like rushed or packed in with the other big releases. All right, so the AMD Ryzen 7 9800X3D is back in stock at MSRP. So as of the 15th, it's back in stock. Now, it's probably going to be sold out, and it's only $479. Do not buy it from scalpers. Scalpers are basically inflating the prices to $1,500. And yes, it feels like it's the pandemic all over again. I'm not really sure why there's low supplies of this one, but it's a very good CPU, so if you actually need a really good CPU, I recommend this one because it's just a really good powerhouse with gaming and productivity as well. So I'm saddened to see that there's very low stock in this specific one, but maybe next year there'll be more stock, and so you can stick it to the scalpers. Just be patient. Stick it to the scalpers. Make them buy all the CPUs and make them eat the cost because they can't sell it for 10 times the price of what it actually is. I mean, it's ridiculous that you can't actually get MSRP on things because scalpers are like, ooh, we can make a quick buck or we can make a lot of money. And then they figure out they can't make a lot of money because people are tired of the extreme inflation of this CPU. I mean, $1,500 for a $479 CPU is insane. You guys are insane. Please stop. All right, moving on to Age of the Empire 2 Definitive Edition. So it looks like they're going to be adding the three DLCs to its standard version, so you're going to get even more out of it. Like, Age of the Empire 2 is without any, like, I guess, hype or hyperbole, is like one of the best of the series. This is basically the game that made it so popular. It enhance what it was, the original Age of the Empire, and made it even better, and I enjoyed playing it. There's so many different spin-offs. They made a Star Wars game out of this type. It wasn't that great, but it was interesting to see just like a Star Wars skin over Age of the Empire 2. Now, I like where it's going with this one. It's great to see just more and more DLCs coming out of this. It's probably pretty easy to make the DLCs since it's an older engine, but it's probably an easy engine to actually do this type of thing. I know that they have a new DLC. I think it's the Vikings or something like that, but they have a new DLC coming out as well for this one. And it's like under $20. So it's actually not that bad for a DLC, and you just get more value out of this one. So you've been on the fence on this one. I recommend getting the Age of the Empire 2 Definitive Edition. All right, so the ADL decided that, you know, it needs to defame Valve because it's allowing the proliferation of hate. I don't know why I can't say that, but it's allowing hate on its platform. And it's like, how dare you not silence people that we don't like? It's almost like, oh, they're spreading hate. How dare you not silence the people that we hate that's spreading hate? So it's just a circular hate thing. You could just, like, not care about it and just go on about your day, but no, the ADL has to step into it and be like, Valve, you must do what we say because things. The funny part is that what they're talking about is that there's about 820,000 avatars were identified as having extremist or hateful symbols, including swastikas, hateful reimaginings of Pepe the meme, and the report suggests that these numbers are likely to be conservative. So there's going to be a lot more. And so gamers, we like to just be edgy and just pour on the salt. And I mean, this is what it is. It is trying to control something that you have no control over. And since people aren't listening to you, you want to make sure that the company stamps down on whatever they can do. I mean, this is the typical ADL thing. They just do this because they need to find value in their organization because they're anti-defaming, supposedly. But they're not really. They're just defaming the people that they hate. So what's the point of this? Just to get a company to abide by your guidelines, just move along. I mean, seriously, the people are going to do this whether you like it or not. They're not going to listen to you. Nobody listens to you. Everybody really just hates you because you don't really do much. You have no value whatsoever. The value you had way long ago is over. Nobody cares. I don't even try to look for this. I mean, if you're searching for this, you're searching for the hate. Why are you searching for it? Who cares? It's normal people just being edgy, just to be edgy, and your butt hurt because they're trying to be edgy and quote unquote hateful. And I'm pretty sure they're really not that hateful. They're just doing it to do it because that's what people do. We do it just to do it. Do I do it? Of course not. I don't really care to do it. But I mean, really? You want Valve, and this is really the reason why. They want Valve to adopt policies prohibiting extremism and hate and to enforce the policies accurately at scale. So they want them to abide by their rules because they're hurt that they're not abiding by their rules. But Valve is very hands-off. Unless you're doing something that's against the law, they don't really care. And that's why their platform is so popular. It's because they don't care what developers do as long as it's not against the law. That's what business should care about, not this. And then it's like, oh, there's so much hate online. What will we ever do? Nothing. Don't do anything. It doesn't matter. Like, can the AEL just go away now? Your purpose is done. Like, we don't care. Anyways, moving on to the nostalgia of gaming now. We've kind of hit this nostalgia of gaming with, like, Night Dive remastered a bunch of games, like System Shock, Dark Forces, and then Blizzard got onto the train with WoW Classic, Warcraft 3, Warcraft 2, Warcraft 1. EA got into it with its Mass Effect trilogy remastered, also with the Command & Conquer remastered. I mean, everybody's getting back into it. A, because it's a lot cheaper to actually do that. And B, people have fond memories of these games. I have fond memories of playing the original Mass Effect series. It's one of the best series to play. I have fond memories of playing the original Command & Conquer and Command & Conquer Red Alert. I have fond memories of playing, I even forgot Microsoft and bringing back Age of the Empire 1 and 2. I have fond memories of playing the Warcraft games, 2 and 3. I didn't really play 1, but I just have fond memories, and not to exclude it, but also Overwatch Classic as well. I have fond memories of these games because when I first played them, these games were awesome. There was something new. Never played it before. There was a lot of synergy. There was a lot of interesting things to play through Warcraft 2, Warcraft 3, the Command Conquer series, Age of the Empire, Overwatch Classic. There were just fun things to do with this one that made it so nice. But the problem is with nostalgia is that you're trying to get back to that newness of it. And it's not really new. It's just the game you came back to play. You're like, well, it was great at the time, but when you play it, it's not as great because you've already become proficient at playing the game. We've all become proficient at playing Overwatch. So playing these characters again, they're very overpowered. We're like, oof, these were pretty overpowered at the time. But at the time, we were trying to figure out how to play this game. And so at the time, it was awesome. But then we're like, okay, there needs to be some nerfs on some of these things because they're very overpowered. But I still have a fun time going back and playing these games because the feel of just like for Overwatch Classic of like doing the Reinhardt hammer down and getting like all of them and killing all of them, or just having a Bastion and just like melting shields because it was basically a shield melter. Basically having 5 Winstons and just like jumping in one at a time and just bubbling. I mean, it's one of those fun things. You go back and play for a certain amount of time, because let's be honest, it's not that great forever. I mean, I play these games and I stop and then I will come back eventually and play them again. That's just how nostalgia works. You want new games because new games bring kind of a sense of, I got to figure out how to play this game, how to be good at this game. But if I go back to the old game, I kind of know how to play it, and I play it really well, but it's nice to come back and just play the game. And so that's the trap of nostalgia. Nostalgia is a great, is a hell of a drug, or rose-colored tinted glasses, like that type of a thing. When you go back to something, you always have that fondest memory of having fun. And when you go come back to it, it's not as fun as you think it is. But I am all for it. I think going back, I think having limited time events and going back to when it was is a great idea. I think it helps to kind of also show where we were to now. Maybe we're better off in Overwatch 2. We're not, because 6v6 is still better unless you want to do 3v3, because that's just how it is going to be. Because 5v5 is just, it doesn't work with the format of what Overwatch was. Overwatch was 6v6 for a reason, because it worked. If you had two tanks, two healers, and two DPS, or you just kind of did the meme comps and you just did all Mays or all Widows, which then everybody went all Winstons, and then you were SOL on that one. But I always agree, going back and kind of like reliving those nostalgia moments are fun, but don't permanently remain in there. Have fun, but then come back. Because, like I said, I got my challenges. I'm like, I don't know if I could actually permanently play something like this. I think it's fun to come back to Overwatch Classic, but it's not fun to stay in Overwatch Classic. It's fun to go back and play the Mass Effect games, but you do need new Mass Effect games that are good, because coming back to them, you already know what's going to happen. Like, I know what's going to happen. It's fun to go back and play them again, but you already know what's going to happen. The newness factor is not there anymore. It's fun to go back to play the Command & Conquer games, but I know what's going to happen. And all the OP of just what Command & Conquer was, especially Red Alert. And it's just fun to go back and play these games. You always want new ones. I mean, that's why I'm excited for Stalker 2. That's why I'm excited for Doom, The Dark Ages. That's why I'm excited for Avowed. Because it's a new IP, something new to do, something new to discover. And this discoverability is lost on nostalgia, because you know how to play it. You know what to do. There's no newness in it whatsoever. So I'm all for it, but let's not stick in the past. And that's our show for today. Thank you for listening to Digital Coffee Gaming Brew. And as always, please subscribe to this podcast or follow on all your favorite podcasting apps. Leave a review or a comment if you're on Spotify. And join me next week as I talk about what's going on in the PC gaming industry. All right, guys, play safe. Get to playing your nostalgia. If you need that nostalgia hit, come back to reality and see you next week. Later.